Parshas Nitzavim is short but sweet, has a lot of very famous themes and impactful psukim, but perhaps the most well-known are the psukim that we read at the beginning of the Shishi Aliyah. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, this mitzvah that I'm commanding to you today, lo niflesehi mimcha v'lo rechokehi, right? It's not too wondrous for you, it's not too far away from you, lo b'shamayim hi, it's not in the heavens, because if it was, you might have said, mi yaleh lanu ha-shamayim Avika Chalanu. Someone might say, who's going to go get it for us in the heavens? But don't worry, it's not there. V'yashmienu osa v'nasana, right? How can we ever learn it? How can we ever do it? But don't worry, it's not in the heavens. V'lo mi'ever li'amhi. And it's also not beyond the sea. Lemer mi'aver lanu hayam v'kachalanu v'yashmienu osa v'nasana. It's not beyond there, because if it would be, then you might have an excuse. But it's not in the heavens. It's not beyond the sea. Rather, Pasuk Yudalid, and this is the whole Aliyah, Shishi Deshvi, Ki Karav Eilecha Hadavar Meod, it is very close to you. Beficha Obelvavcha La'asosa, your mouth and your heart to do it. Very beautiful, very moving psukim. But besides the richness of the metaphor and kind of the emotion that it evokes, the psukim are also very famous in the Mefarshim because of their ambiguity. All of this beautiful imagery and exhortive and language is all about ha-mitzvah hazos. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos. Of course, what's never identified in the pasuk is what mitzvah are we talking about. And in fact, in Chazal, there are a number of different suggestions. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, relates it to psikat halacha, the process of psak, something more connected to dayanim. The Targum speaks about avodas Hashem in general, right? Sometimes people think it's hard to be frum, it's hard to be a ben Torah, it's hard to be a ben yeshiva. So you should know it's not so hard. You know, you can do it, etc., etc. But perhaps the most well-known explanation, one which is particularly matim for the season that we are in, is that of the Ramban. And the Ramban very famously says that this pasuk is the makor for the mitzvah d'oraisa of tshuva. And not all Rishonim necessarily agree that there is a chiyuv d'oraisa to do tshuva. There's a very famous question about the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kishi yase tshuva, chayev l'hisvados. And the Minchas Chinuch says, yeah, he just said, Kishi yase tshuva, when you do tshuva. He didn't say, you have to do tshuva. If you do tshuva, there's a right and a wrong way to do it. But who said you have to do tshuva? So Rav Salvechik and others disagreed with that reading of the Rambam. They felt that even the Rambam felt there's a chiyuv to do tshuva, but the Ramban.
Oh,
yes. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So the Ramban very famously says that this is a reference to tshuva. So aside from the halachic impact, there's a mitzvah. But now think of the psukim. What's the message of the psukim if we read them again with an eye towards tshuva? Right. What is the message? You should know lo neflesehi mimcha v'lo rechokehi. And everything, of course, after that is a commentary. It's not beyond the sea, it's not over there in the heavens. But what's the assumption of the psukim? The assumption of the psukim is that people have a tendency to think that tshuva is rechokahi. The tshuva is niflesa. People very often don't do tshuva. Why? Because they don't think they can. And I would subdivide that into two. There are people who don't believe in the power of tshuva. Come on, how can something undo what I did 6 months ago or 6 years ago? They don't believe in the power of tshuva. And I would say there's at least as many people who don't believe in themselves. They don't believe that they are capable of tshuva. They don't believe that they are worthy of forgiveness. Because despite the bravado image that we project to ourselves or to others most of the time, in our heart of hearts, there's no one who knows about our own mistakes and our own faults more than us. And what the Ramban is, if he's correct in his interpretation, what the Torah itself, I'm going to say the Ramban is, it's not the Ramban's insight. It's according to the Ramban, the Torah's insight isn't the point of humanity. It's not our Yetzer Hara to keep on sinning, which is the biggest impediment to tshuva. It's our lack of faith in our own ability to do tshuva. We wish we could. Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzoncha. We really do want to do the right thing, but we just don't think we can. And I would add that this, if this is the correct shot in the psukim in our parsha, and really the psukim are so beautiful and moving, again, if we're just honest with ourselves, an honest read of the psukim and an honest look into our own hearts, so they actually, I think, correspond with the pshat I once wanted to say in the detail, in the Rambam, in the halachic details of tshuva. Right? Very quickly, we generally assume that there are four components to tshuva. Right? Number one is aziva sachet. Right? You have to stop doing the sin. You can't be doing tshuva and at the same time, you know, the cheeseburger in one hand and, you know, the slichos in the other hand. Right? That doesn't work. Aziva sachet, that's ground zero. Once you've stopped doing the sin, now the question is, can we rectify the past? But ground zero is aziva sachet. We also know that a final component is vidui. It's not enough to say these things, to think these things. It's a critical component of halachic tshuva is to put these motzas piv, to put them in words, which in recent years, we know the psychologists have confirmed how the power of putting things in words. They speak about this, lahavdil, in terms of goal setting, right? They've done studies, really peer-reviewed, consistently, studies have found when people put their goals in writing or in words, but they really concretize them in a way that is outside of themselves, the amount of success that people have is far greater than people who just mentally thought of those same goals. It makes it much more real and binding. Who? On ourselves. But even if in our own room, even we're not talking to anybody, we're in the room by ourselves. But just to say things out loud, to write them, these things have an impact on us. That's vidui. But what are the two parts in the middle? So the two other components that are critical are charata, regret on the past. It's not enough to just say, I had a year's worth of cheeseburgers, but now I've decided I want to stop. You have to actually really, really, really regret it. You have to have charata. But that's not so easy, because sometimes the sin was yummy. Other types of treif that could also be yummy. Right? Let's be honest, right? We enjoyed it when we were sinning. Right? There was a certain taiva, there was a certain yetzahara which we enjoyed. So to regret that, to really regret it, that's a madrega. That's not easy. And then we have an additional component. Number four. Again, I'm not saying them in order now, but the fourth and the last one, which we haven't mentioned yet, is anyone remember? Excellent. Kabbalah. It's not enough to just stop doing it, not enough just to say I'm going to stop doing it, not just to regret it, but you have to make a real commitment to the future. Now, come on, people promise lots of things. So as the Rambam very famously says, Hashem knows the truth. Yodea talumos. That's how the Rambam refers to Hashem in this context. The knower of secrets. Hashem knows. Now that doesn't mean that if a year later, or for that matter even a day or a week later, you actually repeat the sin. That does not ipso facto, that's not by definition mean you were being dishonest when you had the Kabbalah. Sometimes we really were sincere, and just nebuch, we're weak. So what's the difference between that and a fake? Hashem knows the difference. Sometimes even we don't know. And certainly we could trick other people if we wanted to. But Hashem knows what's the difference between a fake and a genuine one. But those are the four components. So here's the question. A few more minutes before we get into the actual shiur, but a few more minutes. What's the order? What's the proper order? So I gave you already a hint that the first one is aziva sachet. Nothing to talk about. Up says you don't do aziva sachet. Anyone know the Rambam's famous mashal for that? If you want to do tshuva while you're still sinning, what is that? Excellent. Ketovo b'sheret biyado. Right. It's as if you're jumping into the mikveh to get tahor while you're holding the thing that made you tamei. Right. It's just by definition, there's nothing to talk about. Right. Finally, you're going to put it all into words, vidui. But the middle two, what's the order? So the Rambam, when he lists the order in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says number one is aziva sachet. Number two is kabbalah al ha'asid. Number three is charata al ha'avar. And number four is vidui bepeh. Now this is striking, gentlemen, because it's virtually the Rishonim. The other Rishonim who list the components of tshuva, they don't all have the exact same four as the Rambam. Some condense it into less, some actually have more. Rabbeinu Yonah speaks, I think, if I remember correctly, about 20 or 21 or 22 aspects of tshuva, all and different Rishonim with different things. But those Rishonim who explicitly mention these two components of regret and commitment, for example, Rabbeinu Sadja Gaon and the Chovas HaLevavos, for example, to name two, consistently, they have the order reversed. First, charata, regret on the past. Then, kabbalah ala asid. The Rambam, as far as I know, is the only one who has kabbalah before charata. And if you think about it, the Rambam is very difficult. Right? Because it's anachronistic. Why should the future come before the past? But it's not just an issue of chronology. Think about it philosophically or even psychologically. What would motivate a person to have Kabbalah al Asid? What would motivate a person to want to change unless they regretted the sin? If you've been doing something for a long time and it's been working for you, you're going to continue doing it. What would make you, if you really were doing something that worked for you, when I say worked for you, I mean it had the impact you wanted, whether that was in a visceral, carnal, psychological, whatever benefit you were getting from something. If it was giving you that payoff that you wanted, why would you ever stop? The motivation to stop is the regret. Why would you have Kabbalah? What would motivate me? Why would I commit to the future before regretting the past? The Rambam doesn't make any sense. So I thought about this for a long time. And I think, I'm sure there's other suggestions out there, but I think that the Pshat is connected to the Ramban. That is to say that I believe that the Rambam, far from being curious, is actually ingenious. The Rambam is addressing, in this subtle way, shift, the biggest impediment to tshuva, which I said is our inability, or our lack of belief and our own ability to do tshuva. What's one of the things that could trigger that lack of faith? Charata. What do I mean by that? You've gone, let's assume that you are very good year to year, right? Each Yom Kippur you do the right thing, you eat your Shoshana, but okay, but there's been a year's worth of accumulative sin. So comes Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. For a year you've been adding skeletons to your closet, but you know, most of the year we keep the door closed. That's how we can go on with our lives. If we had the skeletons in the closet in front of our mind all the time, we would be crushed. So we disassociate. We do all the good things that we do, and the bad things we do, we put them in the closet and close the door. Someone who's going to be a Baal Tshuva, who's going to do Tshuva this time of year, so what does that mean? It means going into the closet. He's opening that door and confronting those past mistakes. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes the mistakes are, I forgot to say Asher Yatzar, or maybe I didn't do a Bracha Achrona, or I didn't wear tzitzis, or something like that, right? So, our Yetzirah might tell us that those are relatively minor. The skeletons aren't so scary to confront those. But, you know, many of us have, you know, more serious sins that we have to think about. More scary skeletons. So to confront those, to drag those up, that's not so easy. Not only is it not easy, it's dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because of this very point. Because once we start thinking about all those things that we did wrong, there's a very, very good chance that we'll be overwhelmed with the level of guilt and shame that we just don't think there's any point to trying to do better. Like, this is just who I am. I'm the guy who did X. I'm the guy who looked at Y on the computer. I'm the guy who said that to the person. That guy, that's not a good guy. I can't be the tshuva guy. We give up on ourselves. Charata has that danger. On the other hand, tshuva without a charata is not tshuva. We got to go in the closet. We got to clean out the skeletons. So how do you avoid that trap? So I think the Rambam here is teaching us a brilliant psychological insight. One of the greatest things that we can do to arm ourselves and to defend ourselves and reinforce ourselves is Kabbalah ala Asid. And here I would translate Kabbalah not just a commitment to be better, but I would translate it more broadly as not only a commitment to be better, but a vision of our better selves. Take a moment before you get into that closet and start really dredging up all those bad things you did and why you regret them. For a moment, pause, not only commit to being better next year, imagine yourself, really try to think about who you would be if you were that better person. Imagine the better you, right? I want to imagine the better David Gottlieb. The David Gottlieb who I really want to be. The David Gottlieb who didn't do those things. Think about that person. Think about how impressed you'd be with that person. Think about how happy, how fulfilled, how good you would feel about yourself if you were that person. Kabbalah ala Asid. Commit to that. Imagine that better person. Now, once the Rambam says, once you're armed with that positive image of yourself, that fortifies you. Now go in the closet. Now deal with the skeletons. It's still scary. It could still be painful. But fortified, strengthened by that positive image, that optimism, that confidence that you have from your Kabbalah, that I think the Rambam is suggesting, that can get you through the necessary charata without it paralyzing us, without us scaring us too much into continuing. And therefore, yes, on some level, if we could really go through the Harata without it doing that, maybe Harata would make sense to go first. That's what, philosophically, it makes sense Harata should go first. I think the other Rishonim are speaking in a philosophical sense. They're definitely right. But in a real world, practical, prescriptive way, there's a certain ingeniousness to the Rambam. Now, lest you think I'm overstating this fear, maybe it's a little bit of a modern pop psychology mumbo-jumbo, fear of this and negative image, right? It sounds a little Oprah-esque maybe or something like that. I'll just add one final point. The Meiri, the great Rishon, right? One of the later Rishonim from southern France, from Provence, who was very influenced by the Rambam. That's not a coincidence in this case. The Meiri has a long essay about tshuva, very, very long, hundreds of pages, which he ingeniously and creatively entitled The Chishuva. The essay on tshuva. So, anyway, he spent all of his energy putting his creative genius into the content, and I guess he had nothing left for the title. Anyway, the Chibra Tshuva, hundreds of pages about tshuva. Halacha, lomdus, philosophy. The opening phrase, the opening sentence, says the Meiri, why am I writing this massive tome on tshuva? To teach a person never to be misya'esh from tshuva. That they should never give up. You don't write something like that in the opening of your massive work on tshuva unless you think there's a real good chance that people do give up. So says the Meiri right away, don't give up. It's good that a mashgiach or a rabbi or a high school teacher or Lahavdil Oprah tells people not to give up. It's good, it's good. But it's not just them. It's the Meiri, it's the Rambam. And in our parsha, I believe, it's the Ramban telling us that's what the Torah itself is telling you. Lo neflesehi mimcha, lo rechokehi. You can do it. Ki karov eilecha hadavar ma'od. You have more strength than you realize. Do not limit yourself. Despite whatever mistakes you've had in the past. Yes, we have what to be embarrassed about. I certainly do. But we have much more to be proud of. And if we think about what awaits us on the horizon, how good this coming year can be, how that can not only be a good year, but it can turbocharge our life. That should be thrilling. That's an awesome thought. We should be filled with unbridled, limitless optimism and confidence. We are set up to have a great year, which will hopefully lead to a great 2 years, or three, which will hopefully lead to a great life, of spiritual accomplishment, meaning, contribution, success, and all the important things. You weigh that against what I'm embarrassed about, I can deal with that. Because look how much I have to look forward to. That's not going to, I have to deal with the past, but that's not going to paralyze me, that's going to scare me, that's going to weigh me down. The future is so bright. Believe in yourselves. You have more abilities than you realize. Deal with the past, but don't let it weigh you down.